Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Here's the man that you fear most in football staring you right in the face.
Mark Grody.
I call him a maniac. Stone maniac.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
You had to overcome the mystique. It was almost like an odor. He exuded a kind of a presence.
Sideline reporter for Bears Radio, WBBM.
His whole damn life was football. Wasn't driving a pretty car. Wasn't going to the local bar and pounding your chest, I'm the greatest. It was the opposite.
Mark Grody.
He was Moby Dick in a goldfish bowl.
Mark Grody with McNeil and Parkins on 670 The Score.
In studio this hour on The Score, brought to you by Cars for Kids. Call 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. Today is a Built Ford Tough Bears Monday on The Score, brought to you by your local Ford dealers. Visit buyfordnow.com. Grody is back from Hallis Hall. Eddie Jackson joins us at 5. What's up, Moby Ditka?
It is so good to see the victory chickens spread out in the hallways here at 670 The Score in the Prudential Towers, and a couple of half-eaten pieces right here between Mac and I right now.
You're welcome to go ahead and dig in.
I'm good.
Don't touch the pecan pie, though.
Oh, is
you'll
that,
lose a finger.
To be continued.
Yes,
on
that's to be, well,
pie.
To be begun, yes.
Yeah, oh, okay. There's nothing taken out of that as of yet. It does look absolutely
help delicious. Yourself.
Yeah, no, I was already picking at it.
Oh, so okay, good. You didn't need to be told.
It's kind of a reward.
He must have eaten something.
It's a reward system. I do this hit, then I come back at 6 o'clock, so I gotta do something in between.
So Parkins and Tanny were over at my house yesterday.
We're
watching the game, and when Jeff Driscoll is introduced as your starting quarterback for the Detroit Lions, I immediately think of the fugitive.
Of course.
Think, Driscoll, comma, Jeff in this case, but Clive Driscoll.
Uh-huh.
Who,
Driscoll.
Gimble,
Clive.
Yeah.
ID, please.
He went to visit him.
Driscoll, Clive R, 2010.
He advised that under federal court ruling, your conversation can be recorded. Right. Sign here, please.
Next.
You got 5 minutes.
Well, are you?
Look, I'm sorry. I made a mistake.
Man, you got me down here. Well, I'm going to talk about something.
You got me down here.
That's what Jeff Driscoll said to Matt Patricia yesterday, final drive. Well, you got me in uniform. I might as well get us down there. But the Bears held up. They stopped him.
Yeah, Driscoll was surprisingly good, though, especially on that first drive. I was all sorts of concerned standing on the sidelines watching Driscoll and the Lions in general just kind of march right through the Bears. Obviously, it ended in a field goal, so you could call that bend but don't break, but that was not a very good defensive stand to start the game against a backup, very inexperienced quarterback in Driscoll. But I got to say, in general, he looked very good, and I imagine that that's what they're probably talking about in Detroit today.
When you've been on the sideline for these home games where they've been booed at home, have you noticed any player or team-wide reactions or acknowledgement of the crowd?
Sometimes I see players smiling about it, like that sarcastic smile, you know, through their masks, just kind of like the head shake smile, if you will, and they don't look towards the crowd, but you know, obviously they hear it, but no like animated reaction to it. Or anything like that, because they know, I think for the most part, they know that it's no win if you are to actually react to the booing that goes on, and again, started early yesterday.
My take on the guy who is least affected by any of the noise outside the building, and you shared the interview with Khalil Mack on Friday night. I listened to it. And I am 100% convinced he couldn't give a rat's ass about any of it. He doesn't even pay attention to teammates when they're talking about tuning out outside noise.
Yeah,
it doesn't even exist to him. I was impressed.
I don't think I've ever been around a guy who is more focused on just the sport than any, like genuinely, like not into any of the outside noise. Because we hear player after player after player say we block out the outside noise, we block out, you know, get off social media. Khalil Mack doesn't care. He doesn't care about
it. Doesn't even acknowledge.
He doesn't acknowledge
it. Doesn't even exist to him.
Right. It doesn't. And like he's the one guy that you actually believe when it comes to all that kind of stuff.
Now he can start sacking quarterbacks
again.
That would
be great.
That would be helpful.
Nick Williams probably should not have the most quarterback sacks on the Chicago Bears this season. That's not a good thing. We actually had a chance to talk to all the assistants today. I know you guys love it when I talk to the assistants, the Ted Monachinos of the world and the Mark DeLeons. These are the linebackers coaches. Monachino, you know, the number one question asked to him today probably was about Khalil Mack and why he is not getting to the quarterback more. And, you know, he gave the what I think is, you know, pretty much a stock answer, and that is that he is being ganged up on and that he is seeing double, triple, and quadruple teams like he's never seen before. But I don't know. I mean, I thought he saw a lot of this last year as well. I mean, I'll give him that. Like, early in his Oakland career, he probably wasn't seeing this much of a game plan for Mack. But I think now, he's not overcoming what he used to overcome. And I guess you could blame some of it on the absence of Akeem
absolutely.
Hicks. Yeah, that's a huge part of it.
Absolutely, yes. You don't have a guy in there collapsing the pocket. And what we've learned about some of the other guys is, and you know, it started so positively about Bears pass rushers. Roy Robertson-Harris, remember when we were saying, boy, he looked good? That was a long time ago now. Aaron Lynch, supposed to be an effective pass rusher. Where's he been?
How about Leonard Floyd?
Yeah, Leonard Floyd's another one. Started strong, had a good bull rush against Aaron Rodgers opening night. Where's he been?
Yeah, and we haven't seen, and I guess we don't expect it necessarily from Eddie Goldman, but we have not seen the splash plays or the TFLs, tackles for loss, by Eddie Goldman either. You like when I talk like TFLs, that, don't you? Look at you over there. No, it's a fair question because, you know, actually, 2 years in a row, we'll say that for 95, Roy Robertson-Harris. Remember in the Green Bay game to start the year, he had, I think, one of the takeaways or the from Aaron Rodgers in that game. He had a big game
to start
the year. And then this year, too, and then it falls off. Now, we do know that that position in this defense is not necessarily one where you expect to sack the quarterback a whole lot, being in that spot. You know, Akeem Hicks led that charge last year with, 7.5, and I thought that was a really good number for that position. But considering the way we all pumped them up early in the year, yeah, there hasn't been much playmaking by anybody this year other than, you know, at times Nick Williams, at times Khalil Mack, and obviously yesterday Nick Kwiatkowski was a playmaking machine all over the field with the interception and a couple of nice open field tackles, including a sack.
This hour on The Score brought to you by St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Mark Grody, our Bears reporter and the sideline reporter for Bears games on WBBM in studio. Normally at 5 o'clock on Bears Mondays, but we got Eddie Jackson today at 5, so Grody came in a little early. What do you think Bears fans need to hear from Halas Hall today?
Yeah, you know what? There were real changes made to the offense, or at least concrete ones we can see. And one of them was, and people probably weren't necessarily surprised, that Adam Shaheen, the Bears tight end, the former second-round pick, inactive for the game yesterday. So there was follow-up with Matt Nagy on that today.
Again, we want all of our players to be able to be completely detailed and just play hard and do everything they can to be the best player they can be.
Does Shaheen have a chance to be active this week, or is this an until further notice, this is the way you're going to go with it?
Right. Again, we're kind of working through all that.
Yeah, so, I mean, read between the lines. It sounds to me like, with the short answer based on it, it doesn't sound like Adam Shaheen will be a part of this offense going forward. How they handle it, if he just continues to be inactive, I'm not sure, but it doesn't seem like he will be part of it.
Second rounder.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah. I was excited when they drafted him because it seemed
nine
like
catches,
an out,
right, this year?
It seemed like an outside of the box pick. You know, we didn't know much about him coming from the
smartest
small
guy
school.
In the room. Yep.
They're throwing baby Gronk around. So it got you excited for a guy like that. But it sounds to me like it's done. You know, Ben Broniker played really well this past week. I don't know that he is your exact replacement going forward for that position. And then it led me into thinking about Trey Burton as well. And Trey Burton it sounds like he just hasn't been healthy all year long. It also sounds like he left yesterday's game with a calf injury. So whatever was going on with him prior to that injury-wise has now been exacerbated by a calf injury. And I just wonder at some point in time if you're going to see them try something else over Trey Burton, too, just because if he's not healthy and he's not helping your team, even in a decoy sort of way.
He's been a big disappointment.
Yeah.
Both tight ends have been a huge
failure.
Disappointment.
Right. And maybe he's unhealthy, so maybe that's the next step in terms of a change they might make. And I don't know that there is a creative alternative to Trey Burton, just considering how much they had planned to put on that plate. And I think they did, coming into this season, they knew they were going to have to take some of it away just because the injuries occurred in the preseason and in Bourbonnais. Like, he hasn't been healthy all year long, and he just has not added on to what he started to do last year. So I'm just wondering, in the back of my head, if we're going to see something with Trey Burton eventually too. Maybe he goes on the injured list. Maybe he's just not healthy enough to play. Maybe he gets scratched for next week's game. But something has to be done differently with that position.
Burton and Shaheen, part of the many reasons Mitch Trubisky has been held back this year. At least that's my take on how Matt Nagy sounded today. It's all on the other guys, right?
Well,
see what happens when 11 guys do their jobs? Look at how my quarterback flourished yesterday.
It's one of my cuts, actually. This is Matt Nagy talking about, basically the question is, going forward now, after a 3-touchdown game to 3 different receivers, can he keep this up?
When everybody does what they're supposed to do, it's good, because you see when 11 guys do their job, then he's able to be better at his job. And I think that's what you take away from it. It's just, if one guy just messes up just a little bit, then sometimes it goes back to the quarterback.
Matt, how much responsibility is there in the quarterback to do something when all ten other guys aren't doing it? When there's a bad snap and he can't see the defense right away, when a play breaks down, it just doesn't seem like he's making plays out of those adverse situations. I mean, do you just say, well, that's just the offense wrecking it for him, or does he have a responsibility to overcome that?
I would say throughout the beginning of the season, there hasn't been as many of those using his legs. Yesterday, you saw at least 3. Where he used his legs in those situations, whether it was a snap or whether it was somebody ran the wrong route, and it looks like he's not throwing it to who he should, but really the route's not the right route, and so now you got to ad lib. And you saw that there was a couple plays yesterday. It might have been a 3-yard gain, but it's better than a 4-yard loss.
Wow.
That's one way of looking at it. Like, the thing is, he's not wrong. Right? He's not wrong.
Yeah, 11 men have to be doing their jobs.
Yeah, well, and they lead the NFL in drops, and they've had way too many penalties on offense. So it's been a collective failure offensively, but if we were dividing up Max Pecan pie over there, and it was like a pie chart of blame for the offense, Trubisky is the biggest slice of the pie. He has been, with a group of underachievers, he's been the biggest underachiever relative to expectations.
He's the reason, he's the biggest reason the training wheels are on the offense and they're trying to run the football and simplify things, and very few plays on that laminated play sheet of Matt Nagy's that he's whispering into.
Yeah, the lack of accuracy on potential explosive plays has stood out for Mitchell Trubisky. And until the last couple of weeks, a couple of times where we have seen Trubisky start to show some of that ability to be elusive that he hasn't had this year. Like, he was so good at evading sacks.
Yeah, he doesn't get
year.
Away from guys anymore.
Yeah, and he did. I mean, Nagy's right. He did show some of that yesterday, but that's one of the biggest things that has surprised me this year. I'm beyond the point of run them more. I'd like to see that, but it just doesn't seem like they're going to do that, so we just have to deal with that. But the ability to feel pressure has eluded him this year, whereas last year that was one of the things that he was really good at. And I think it part of it is that going into this year, one of their goals was to make him think throw first, run second. Whereas last year, there was a lot of times where, he ran for 20 yards, but maybe there was a 40-yard play that he left on the field and left his playmakers frustrated.
Well, all of that is solved because they flipped Daniels and Whitehair, right? Everything's solved. Now the offense should just be humming perfectly. He should be able to run around.
As long as he can field those ground balls, Whitehair is serving up 4 times a game.
I do think that was a big part to the sacks yesterday. He's clearly not good enough to make those like magical plays, like when Romo or something with like a snap would go over his head and then he'd like turn his back to the offensive line, take the ball, scramble and throw it. I mean, yesterday he looked at the guy who was about to sack him, was behind the line of scrimmage, easily could have just thrown the ball out of bounds to throw it away.
Yes.
And he took the sack.
He's taking,
you know what that is?
Sacks.
It's spatial awareness.
Yes, it is.
The lack of spatial awareness.
Yes. Well, it was addressed out at Hallis Hall today, getting a little bit more insight on why the move was made, again, to put Cody Whitehair back at center and James Daniels at guard.
A lot of it comes down to, some experience, some communication, that sort of thing. I say that's probably the biggest thing.
Is there a benefit to having a veteran like Cody between two guys who have little experience?
That's probably a good way to look at it, for sure. I think you have a balance when you look at it before. You know, you have experience-wise, you're dealing with Leno on the left, right, Cody, and then you have James and Rashad. You know, that was one of the things that we looked at with that switch, you know, and then I think it's just you kind of balance it out a little bit.
How did James handle the move personally, just telling him, and so he doesn't feel like a scapegoat for some of the
Yeah, players? Well, we were very honest and open with him, and he handled it great. He really did, because we told him this is a team thing. This isn't an individual thing. We love your trajectory. We love the way you're playing. This is just, there's more to it. And he completely understood. He was great.
And is it just possible that James Daniels at the NFL level, even considering his prowess at center at Iowa, that he's just a better guard in the NFL? Because, I mean, we've talked about it a ton of times that last year, towards, you know, middle of the season on against the LA Rams,
yes,
quite
coming
frankly.
Up rematch time.
Yes, that's where you started to see him really come into his own. You started to see him maul some guys from that guard position, and he didn't, you know, like Trubisky, he has not taken that next step forward this year. So it's like, it's okay if that's where he belongs in the NFL. You can make him a really good guard, even if Cody Whitehair is not necessarily designed to be a center, but he certainly is in terms of the communication part of it, whether or not, you know, his ability to get the ball to Mitchell Trubisky is on or off. That's up for debate.
Yeah, because like the offense, so there's a bunch of factors here. I'm sure there's plenty of factors in the switch, but doesn't it feel like the biggest one is just whatever Mitch is comfortable with? Like, I feel like that switch was made because of Trubisky.
Is there a problem with that, though? I mean, isn't that the idea? Isn't that the way teams are built to make your quarterback, like give your quarterback whatever he needs to be comfortable?
Olin was saying that the problem with that is that because Mitch hasn't developed and gotten better, he just cost James Daniel his job at center, and he should be good enough to recognize his own protections and not have to rely on Cody Whitehair to do all of it, if I can paraphrase Olin's point.
I get where Olin's worried about James Daniel's feelings.
No, it's not about feelings. It's that they made a decision that Daniels had a higher ceiling at center and Whitehair had a higher ceiling at guard, but Mitch isn't able to overcome his lack of experience in terms of calling out protections.
Yeah, no, I definitely see what Olin is saying, but I would counter that with, like, with any franchise, you just have to surround your quarterback give your quarterback whatever it is that he wants to make him. I mean, I think back to like Jay Cutler, you know, like Cutler they built an offensive line around him. He wanted big wide receivers. Okay, let's go get big wide receivers. He wants his buddy Brandon Marshall. Let's get Brandon Marshall here. That you have to build your team around the quarterback. And we have obsessively talked about the problems with Mitchell Trubisky throughout the year. You were at a point, at an emergency point, where you have to give in at this point. Give in to Mitchell Trubisky. Take chapters out of the playbook. Change the alignment of the offensive line. Get rid of your second-round tight end for a game and put Ben Broniker in. You have to go to drastic measures if you want to win, and I think that's what the Bears are doing right now.
Grody, so much of this conversation centers around Trubisky, as it should, and also what's going on with the defense, which isn't itself, but we don't talk much about the special teams, and they've been problematic this year, too. Now, yesterday, Eddie Pinheiro misses a PAT. They don't cover punts very well. There was one punt return late where three tackles were missed. Jerick McManus had the first shot at a guy. Two other guys missed. And Tariq Cohen has been very mortal as a punt returner.
Yeah, and they had
Are they upset about any or all of this?
Yeah, and they had a game where there was two block punts, I want to say, recently.
Yes. One was definitely a block. The other one was partially blocked.
Yeah,
yes.
So it's been a really inconsistent year in general for the special teams. And, yeah, I do think that there has been concern over it. One of the things, too, like back to Eddie Pinheiro missing that extra point, he was missing a ton both kickers were actually missing a ton in the pregame warmups. Like, it wasn't pretty. Like,
yeah.
So when he missed that extra point, this reporter was not surprised by that. Now, I'm not making excuses. I'm just saying.
Felt like a preseason game, I bet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was.
You were surprised when Prater made the 54-yarder, I'd imagine.
I was a little bit surprised. However, I did see Prater make back-to-back 60-yarders in warmups, although missing a bunch of shorter ones. So it's to both end zones. So, and Prater's very, very good.
He has the record.
Yeah, yeah. That would make him good for sure. But, yeah, no, Mac, your point is well taken, man.
Thank you. I was too.
Yeah, the special teams, that it has been very inconsistent throughout this year. And it just – even Cordero Patterson – you know, he's had the one kick return for a touchdown. It's just like more times than not, he is getting stuffed 25 yards or before. And obviously, you want him to go a little bit farther than that.
Any Bears nuggets or post-club dub observations that you need to share with us, Mark Grody?
Yeah, club dub did occur.
You're
going
to club dub this win?
They dubbed it up.
They club dubbed the win, Grody.
Yes, they did. They club dubbed the win. I will say, like, the team walking after the victory occurs, they were very calm walking to the locker room. You know, usually you're high fiving, everybody's excited. I think that they're a team that's 4-5 and had just lost four straight games. And for whatever it's worth, they were acting accordingly as they walked into the club dub situation. I told you about Trey Burton, came out of that game with a calf injury. Danny Trevathan, it sounds like there is a good chance that he could end up on injured reserve just because it was the dreaded Matt Nagy didn't rule out the possibility of that happening.
That was
so
ugly.
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
Did they say specifically what happened to him? What
the elbow injury was?
What's the injury? They haven't said.
No, they have not filled in the detail. Matt Nagy said he had not talked to Trevathan today, nor had he spoken to the doctors. And then my last nugget, too, is a Bears employee, a well-ranked Bears employee on the sidelines before the game came up to me and said, he figured out that who I was, and he's like, hey, he's like, where did all that Moby stuff start? How did that get going? Like, who got this Moby? And I gave full credit to Chris Tannehill, and I said, honestly, I don't really know why that's my open. I don't. But
we don't either.
And then he asked, where did Moby Ditka come from? I said, it's just a natural evolution of the segment. So a shout out for Tanny and the creation of Moby Dick.
Always appreciated. Yeah, the open is just the most footballist, Bearsist open I can think of for you, who covers the Bears at a professional level. So, you know, you have Butkus stuff in there. You got OB in there. You know, all, you know, yeah. Bears is very Bearsy.
Even though OB's obviously not talking about Grody.
That's true.
There's that also.
He only knew. Yeah.
Well, it's good. Moby Ditka's a name that'll stick for you.
Absolutely. And I will be on tonight at 6 o'clock for about 25 minutes talking Bears.
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 Bears. This segment brought to you by Subway. Subway restaurants feature a different 6-inch sub for $3.79 every day. Subway, make it what you want at participating restaurants. Additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied.
See you in a couple days for I'll Thump Your Skull For You Wednesday, Grody.
Clive Driscoll.
Can't wait. Eddie Jackson at 5 on the score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.